Welcome to Therapists Are People.
Therapists are people? Never really thought about it.
A group of therapists discuss mental health, answer questions, and interview other humans. Welcome back, everybody. It's good to see you all again.
Nice to see you.
So we're doing self-care today, or we're talking about self-care. I'm going to hope that we're not going to talk about self-care in the way that feels like commercialized and, out of a place of kind of stereotypes of what self-care can be. Maybe we can all talk about how we're planning to take advantage of the newfound nice weather. It's at the time we're recording this, beginning to feel a little bit more like spring. So, what are you all doing to get outdoors and enjoy it?
I am super looking forward to re-engaging with my outdoor hobbies. I play a lot of frisbee golf, and I played a little bit over the winter, but it's just not the same as playing when it's nice out. So I just cannot wait to get out. I've felt so cooped up doing everything from home. It's been like a treat to go to the grocery store like once a week. That's me getting out. So now I'm really excited for better weather to be able to get out more.
Kyle, I think all of our listeners after our last episode are wondering how many putts you make out of 50 when you throw putts.
Oh, it depends on the distance. Depends on the distance. I think if I were to throw 50 putts, I could make all 50 putts from 20 feet. From 25, I may make close to 50, and from 30 feet, I bet I'd make 30 out of 50. I'm practicing. It's always getting better. I'm tracking my numbers too. Ask me again in a month, and I'll tell you. Hopefully, my numbers are better.
Nice. Nice.
Thanks for asking. How about y'all?
I started tomato plants this past weekend. I wouldn't call myself a green thumb, but like an enthusiastic thumb for sure. And tomatoes are my favorite food, so pretty motivated to get those in the ground when it's warm
Since you
enough.
don't cook, what do you do with your tomatoes?
I give them to my partner who cooks them for me.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, super grateful for that. But I will also eat them like straight off the bush. That's a remnant of childhood. Like, kind of rub them a little bit so it seems like they're a bit
Yeah.
cleaner and then toss them back. And
Nature.
Kristen, I. Cherry
Oh,
tomatoes,
yeah. I
my
was
favorite.
going to say, I like cherry tomatoes, but I don't like tomatoes in general. But the way I do like, I like ketchup. But I also like fried tomatoes. Like if you batter them and you throw them in a fryer, I will definitely eat those with ranch. But I'm not going to probably eat something right off the
I've never had that.
Okay, I don't think I've ever had that. But I'm fascinated now. Ranch and I don't know what ranch is, so I get like kind of confused
Hold on,
by
hold
it.
on. You're from
But
Iowa. I thought that was like a thing.
yeah,
Like,
I am from Iowa. No, I don't. I'm from Iowa and I don't understand. Like, really, what is
that's a good
ranch?
question.
I get like I start to perseverate on that. Like, I don't understand what I'm eating. And then it tastes so different, right? From like place to place, I think. Sometimes I'll have it and I'm like, yeah, I get what this is all about. And other times I'm like, I don't know what is
I don't eat
that?
ranch. I'm
So
with you. I don't eat
anyway,
ranch.
but I love fried things. You
No,
don't
I
eat
don't.
ranch, Kyle?
I don't like ranch. I don't know what it is
Oh.
about it. And I'm a standout.
We use ranch in everything. I have dry ranch powder and I put it on meat and we put it in macaroni and cheese and I mix ranch and ketchup together for my
Right.
French fries all
Right.
the time. I
It's the
love
Iowa
ranch.
way. Absolutely.
Ranch on your pizza? I had taco pizza last night with ranch on it.
With ranch on it. Oh man, this is innovative. I'm the only non-native Iowan on here, so I was coming into this conversation about ranch thinking I was going to be very alone, but I feel so understood by both Kyle and Kristen. Like I tolerate ranch, but I'm not a mega fan by any means.
Oh, guys, you just haven't had the right ranch yet. Homemade ranch. That's where
That
it's
what it
at.
is?
Yeah, homemade ranch. You can't beat that.
Well, you send the recipe, and I will not make it, but I will find someone
The
to make it
recipe
for
is the
me.
little packet from the grocery store, Kristen.
Oh, that's
Absolutely,
homemade
yes.
ranch. I
Yeah.
wonder if that's another Iowa thing or not, like making something out of the package or adding one ingredient to the thing from the package and saying that it's homemade.
Are you making it in your house?
Totally.
Yes. So it's
Fair.
homemade.
Yeah, in the most literal sense.
In the house I grew up in, what is it? The condensed cream of mushroom soup. It's like the base of every casserole that I ate as a child. Yeah. But ranch kind of seems, I don't know, ranch packet, I guess.
Ranch packet, toss it on some chicken and put it in your oven. You could even make that, Kristen.
No. No, it's not a like lack of ability. This is like a complete lack of I was in 4-H. I went to the state fair for my baking, y'all. Oh,
wow.
But I am, and then one day I was like, you know what? I'm not going to put my energy towards that. And while we're talking about self-care, I feel a tremendous sense of peace that I don't.
So, Kristen's like, I'm taking like my that. Talents that's my self-care.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm getting peace from your peace. You know what? You taking a stand for yourself helps me feel like it's okay for me to do the same.
It helps when one has a very willing partner who's like, get out of the kitchen. This is my space. Like, it is your space. And I will get out of the kitchen.
What am I doing for self-care? The weather's getting nicer. Last year when we were waist deep in the pandemic, I started building stuff, which I'm not a handy person. But I started building like a play structure for my kids. And now that it's getting warmer, I have this weird excitement, like, should I build something? And then I'm like, no, there's nothing to build. But I feel like I'm being late, like I'm putting off a project of some sort. And I'm like, no, I can just like enjoy the weather. It's fine. But I have an eagerness. Maybe I'll actually build something again, because I discovered I sort of like it after assuming like I would never do something like that.
Cool.
But that might be my self-care this summer. We'll see.
Neat.
Those things are complicated to put together too.
Yeah. It wasn't a kit either. I made it hard on myself. I'm like, just go get lumber and build it.
I want to see some updated pictures.
I'll show you. I'll screen share at some point.
Yeah, I forgot you were doing that project. That's neat. You showed us pictures in progress.
Yeah. It turned out. I'm super proud of it after not feeling confident going into the process. So.
Hey, as long as nobody's gotten hurt on it.
Not yet.
All right, great success.
And it survived the snow. It survived the snow. And it survived the
derecho.
Yeah. So I feel decent about it.
There you go.
That's like expert level right there.
Cool. We'll see. This was year one. So.
So we moved right before the pandemic started. And so I didn't touch our yard last year. So it's literally like builder grade, like sod. And so my self-care this summer is I want to put together our yard and like plants, and I'm committed to buying patio furniture. I'm not going to go pat level, but we're going to get a swing set. I found one online that like snaps together and you bolt it. So I think even I could put that together. So we're going to try to put together the yard. We were going to get a fence, but with the derecho, that's not happening this year. Maybe in a couple of years and everybody's caught up. But I'm looking forward to just the, the wait list was, I think, I don't know, 18 months to get a new fence.
Holy smokes.
Right. So, but I am looking forward to having like a usable space, and maybe I'll record the podcast from like my outside patio table next time.
I honestly thought about recording at times from the playhouse. It's just like, take it on the road.
The soothing sound of nature.
Yeah. Or lawnmowers. Well, folks, I think one of the things that we hear a lot from students is, I don't know about you all, but personally, I get a lot of requests to come in and talk to a student group or a floor in the residence halls, or come in and do a training about self-care. And to be honest, when we started talking a little about doing this as a topic for the show, I was like, okay, fine, we'll do self-care, because it feels like a topic that is talked about a lot, you know. And so I think that the unique idea that I hope we can talk about is how folks are practicing self-care amidst like a prolonged year of difficulties in the pandemic. Hopefully bring a little bit of a fresh take to this, because there's plenty of stuff out there on the internet, right? But I think that there's some wisdom in this team about how to look at self-care differently. and not in a way that feels like that's kind of played out already. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like our culture primes us so much to just always work harder. And if things are hard, then you work harder. And if things are hard, then you work even harder. And that's just always the answer. And I feel like we just run ourselves into the ground. And so, you know, some of the smartest and most high achieving people that I know, and some of the brightest students that I work with, they just run themselves into the ground. And when they come to counseling and talk about how they're taking 18 credit hours and they're a leader of three different student orgs and they're an officer in their fraternity or sorority and all these, and then they're working and volunteering and all these things, and they're like, all right, well, how do I, like, I'm feeling really stressed. How do I not feel so stressed but still be able to do all of this? And we have to really talk about what recharges them.
Yeah, I think with that too, so often the way that I hear people asking about self-care, it's like there's a tie for them between doing and self-care, productivity and self-care, and that self-care always has to be an act. And I think the idea that sometimes self-care is the absence of things. So, you know, choosing not to do something because in this time, in this pandemic, like, sure, I would normally do that, and there are limits to what I have capacity for right now, so I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I love that idea of limit setting and capacity recognition as self-care. It doesn't have to be an act that you add into your schedule, but it's a limit setting. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important for people to get to know themselves. We don't know ourselves, and it's really hard for us to know what we need. I like to ask anybody, like, what would feel really good to you? What would feel really good to you this week? Or what would feel really good to you today? And I do get mixed answers between doing something and not doing something. Like, wow, it'd be really nice to not have to do X, Y, and Z. Like, well, in order for you to be successful in the long run, might it be worth it to not do X, Y, and Z today, so that you could continue to perform at a high level moving forward? A lot of folks are really scared to take their foot off the gas pedal because they think that they think if they take their foot off the gas pedal they're going to fall behind. They're not going to regain their momentum. Like, well, maybe you just need to rest so that you can keep going. It's a long semester. This is week 7, and before the podcast started, we were all talking about how, like, busy we were and frazzled we were. It's okay to slow down a little bit so you can catch your breath so that then you can hit it hard again.
That reminds me of I did a presentation, I don't know, last week, the week before, the weeks blur together, on self-care and resilience, and really kind of how those two ideas are tied together. And what I really took away from that presentation and the students talking about is that bouncing back, which is kind of the definition of resilience. Sometimes to bounce back, to be resilient, we have to pause. And it's okay to pause and give yourself permission to really think about, like what Kyle was saying, like, what's going to feel good? What do I need to do right now? And to prioritize, whether it's tasks or just your own emotions, and just give yourself that permission to figure out, like, what do I need right now?
I think needs recognition is a really big part of self-care. I think that the ability to step back from responsibilities or do something that just feels good is definitely self-care. One sneaky part of self-care, I think, that people don't really think about, is sometimes self-care actually means doing something that's unpleasant. Mm-hmm. So meaning, like, I'm going to have a really difficult conversation with my partner about this thing that we've been disagreeing about lately. Or I'm going to set a limit with this student org that's pulling for a lot of my attention right now, right? That's not going to feel good for me to do. In fact, I dread it a little bit, but self-care might mean doing something that actually feels bad in the sort of most black and white sense of it, right? And so I think diversifying the way that you think about self-care can be helpful. Not just the things that are pleasurable activities for you, but things that actually might feel challenging to you can be an act of self-care too.
I love that. And that makes me think of how often when folks ask about self-care, there's also the need to kind of check in and see what their understanding of it is, because sometimes it is that like one-time action. And sometimes when we talk about self-care, we're talking about the ongoing, everyday, I choose to incorporate this into my life actions that, you know, when I think of those ones, I think that there are some really clear parallels to our physical health. And like, we understand that for our physical health, there are things that we do in an iterative way, right? Like, I'm not going to do it one time and then check off the box. Mm. And that, like, a challenging thing talking about self-care with mental health is that sometimes, yeah, it's a one-time thing, like the difficult conversation, the, like, choosing rest that day or to kind of disrupt the usual that day. And sometimes it's the, like, I know that I need to get this amount of sleep every night in order to perform right. The way I want to perform, manage mood the way I want to manage it, all of that.
I love the idea of being planful rather than reactive. Like, we catch ourselves being reactive, and that's fine. Maybe we didn't see the wave coming, or two waves synced up and created a rogue wave of stress in our lives, and that happens sometimes. But also oftentimes we can anticipate, you know, students can look ahead in their syllabi and say, whoa, like, three different classes have a lot due on this 2-week stretch. Like, I know that's going to be a rough 2 weeks. How am I going to gear up for that? How will I get through it? And then how will I de-stress from it? And that's very different from not doing that work ahead of time and then getting hit with those 2 weeks that could have been identified, and then feeling like it's a rogue wave when it's really something that could have been prepared for.
Coincidentally, Rogue Wave is also the name of my new cover band. Check us out.
That's so fitting for you. That would be good.
Or maybe it's my Star Wars fan fiction.
Oh.
Rogue Wave.
Symbiotic. It should be both.
Yeah, why not? I feel like...
Sounds like some really good self-care.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if I was... Yeah. Probably not. But yeah, keep your eyes out.
Pat, how often do you get to play? How often do you play music for fun and for self-care, for de-stressing? I know your job is super, super full, and I know that your life is super full. How often do you incorporate that? I know you love music.
Yeah, this is a tough question because not as much as I want to. I think that, so for folks who don't know, like, music has been a part of my life for a long time. I'm a drummer, and it has been an element of my life as you start adulting and you have kids and whatnot that scales back. But every once in a while, I still get to, what's been cool is seeing it transform into something that, like, I share with my kids now, that, like, they get to come on board and do with me, as opposed to, like, being a weekend warrior, and, you know, gigging and stuff like that. There's not as much of that. There's none of that right now. Let's just be honest. But it's still an element, and like seeing it transform too into, like, I don't get to play as much now, but I get to listen to things that, like, are expanding my horizons. And so just, I say all that because I think a lot of students, when they get to college for the first time, they're like, my self-care thing that I used to do in high school is gone now. I can't do it anymore. Mm. But knowing that there's actually ways to transform it or to see it evolve over time, and sometimes you take a vacation from it, you come back to it in a renewed way. That's certainly how it's functioned for me. It's not how I want it to be right now, but it still is something that I can turn to and has kind of changed to fit my life at different phases. So it's still a thing every once in a while, maybe every few weeks.
Good.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the case for anybody else, that they've had self-care things that have been really important to them over time, but they've either struggled to maintain or they've seen a change over time.
I was just connecting kind of with you around that. I always liked music, but reading was kind of my, my thing. I always loved to read in middle school, high school, even undergrad. Like, I made a lot of time to read, like, books for fun, and I was a history major, and so I like to read, like, memoirs and, like, history sort of focused books. And I was cleaning this weekend and found, like, a stack of, like, 25 books that I've bought in the last 2 years that were dusty because I have not touched them. And I was kind of reflecting on, like, how that has shifted and how I used to really like to sit and read books, and that self-care was important. And I still read. Now I spend a lot of time reading on, like, my tablet or my holding my phone. I don't know why I'm holding my phone in the podcast, but, like, reading on my phone, not as much as I would like. I used to read probably 3 or 4 books in a week. Now if I read 3 or 4 books every 6 months, I'm going to call that good. But also just recognizing, like, the shift and that going with it. And I'm still getting that feeling of pleasure and accomplishment, which I think is something we look for in self-care. It's just a little bit different right now.
That speaks to me too. Like, it almost feels sometimes like finding the cracks where it can fit in. Put it in there. And how it, for me, with reading, how it's shifted to, you know, maybe... I read a lot more children's literature now than I did in the past. And of course that's, like, reflective of where kids are and whatnot. When I think of the hobbies that I used to cultivate regularly, the ones that have most stood the test of time are the ones that can be kind of, like, spontaneously thrown in, without feeling any sort of pressure for what they need to look like when I do them. I always used to, well, in a more formal way, used to dance, and then in less formal ways. And I would say that turning on music and dancing with my kids is the best stress relief that I have, and also sometimes the goofiest, but it has this, like, release of expectations, right? I have a mean mom dance now that is, I'm sure my daughter will mimic it someday, just as I like to imitate my mother's mom dance. But, you know, that, like, kind of finding spaces for joy, I guess.
I like that a lot. That's funny. You don't have to talk about it now, but I am curious about, like, how you danced more, what do you call it? I don't know, you didn't use the word professionally, but some structured.
In a more structured way. I danced through college. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. What you said really reminded me of a lot of the students that I work with, and also myself and a lot of my friends, that when the pandemic hit, a lot of people I know and clients I was working with just stopped doing the things that they did. And a lot of that was structural, like gyms were closed down, you couldn't use outdoor spaces. There's, like, lots of things you just straight up, it was against the rules to do. And some things not, but, like, people's routines were thrown off so much that they just stopped doing things. And a lot of people that I know and students that I work with stopped because conditions weren't perfect. And are now that we're almost to the 1 year anniversary of this, they have incorporated things back in that are not perfect. Like, they're accepting that it's better than nothing. Like, I wish I could go to the gym for this long, but I can't anymore. Or it's such a hassle that I have to schedule a time to go to the gym because I have only so many people that can be there. Like, ugh. And they wouldn't do it for a while. And now they're saying, oh, geez, I really need to go do that. So even though I don't like having to schedule my time at the gym, I'm going to do it because it's better than nothing. I appreciate that they're gravitating back towards the things that are going to be sustaining.
Yeah, with flexibility. Mm-hmm. Right. I really appreciate that.
I feel like it's better than nothing is the tagline for this whole year. Like, it's truly taught me how to be more flexible with any of the things that I used to enjoy and then got rigid about, like, well, but it's not the same as it used to be. Spending time with people isn't the same that it used to be. As just an example. And like, no, well, we find the way to get to the best version of it. It's not going to be what it usually is. Like, we'll take what we can get, essentially. That's been a change for me in practicing self-care this year, is learning how to do it differently and taking what I can get.
Yeah, it seems like
Can y'all hear my crazy dog in the background?
Yeah, good.
We are about to enjoy some outdoor self-care time for her very soon. She sounds like she needs it.
That's good self-advocacy.
Yeah, right. Oh, she advocates a lot.
She speaks for all of us on some level. Yeah. I want out right now.
I feel like you're hearing our voices around this today as a bunch of professionals, a bunch of mental health folks who do the self-care thing. Kyle has gotten to talk to some students about self-care and the ways that it looks in their lives and how they're thinking about it amidst everything that's going on. So maybe this is a good place to toss over to that conversation.
Alrighty, so I'm Kyle Botrebeck. I'm a counselor here at University Counseling Service. And today we have with us two members of the University Counseling Service Student Advisory Board to discuss the topic of self-care. So today we have Abby and Phil, and I'm going to kick it over to them to introduce themselves. So Abby, would you be willing to go first?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Abby Logan. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. I am currently in the 1 year Master of Social Work program here at the university. I completed my undergrad in social work at the university as well. And I'm currently living in the Quad Cities and completing my practicum for social work at St. Ambrose Counseling Center. And I am so excited to be here today.
Awesome. Thank you.
And my name is Phil Spizak. I go by he, him pronouns. I am in my last year of a psychology undergraduate degree. I currently reside in St. Louis with my partner doing school remotely. And I am also excited to be here to talk about some self-care with you, Kyle and Abby.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, welcome. This can be free form and go wherever it goes. So let your thoughts wander. The first prompt that I'll use to just jump off with is, like, I'm interested in your thoughts about self-care in general. And then also more specifically, since it's the situation that everyone's in, how do you care for yourself through the isolation of the pandemic?
Yeah, I can touch on this first. I definitely think that my idea of self-care has changed year by year, day by day, to be honest. It's really cool to think about how before I started college, self-care wasn't something that I even thought of. And now, especially during the pandemic, I've noticed how my self-care is shifting on what I need daily. And I noticed for myself that self-care for me, like I said, is needed daily. So it could be one day that I need to focus on my self-care in form of academic work, so I need to get stuff done or write stuff in my planner, and that is relieving for me. And so I cared for myself. And other days, it's just simply sitting outside for a few minutes, especially on days like today. That's beautiful outside, and that's caring for myself.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate you highlighted the dynamic nature of self-care, that it can look different based on the circumstances each day and possibly even each hour. Can I ask you a follow-up question to that?
Yeah.
What's different to you in your mind about high school versus undergrad stressors? You said that you didn't really think about self-care in high school. I'm wondering why not, and why, like, what's different about college?
Yeah, instantly I thought about the support piece, and how in high school I was constantly around my peers and my teachers checking in on me, specifically about academics, and organizations that I was a part of. And when I entered undergrad and through my undergrad career, I had a little bit more autonomy. So I wasn't always asked how I was doing. And so I had to develop a way to ask myself that. And I found that through self-care. Like I said, though, not during just my freshman year, but this has been something I've learned and edited my 4 or 5 years in college.
Wow, that's really insightful. I appreciate that. I think a lot of undergrad students can really connect with that. Phil, what do you think?
I agree with a lot of what Abby is saying. I feel like my own self-care practice is largely adapting day by day based on what I need that day. I will say, like, some days I do need more of a mental health break where I do go outside in nature and go for hikes, or, you know, on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, just sit inside all day watching Netflix or playing video games, and I need a break from all of the work and stresses from school. But then, Abby, on the other hand, like you mentioned, I also feel like my self-care practice is holding myself accountable to getting things done.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a lot better whenever I'm able to accomplish what my goals are, you know, what I set out to do in school, and even just like the day-by-day assignments. You know, I feel like that's a huge aspect of my own self-care practice that's been pretty on my mind lately, especially with the weather warming up. Like you said, it can be hard to focus for me sometimes. And so having that accountability to get things done is super important for me. And I think kind of going hand in hand with that, I feel like my life needs a little bit of structure as far as like accountability is concerned. So like I need to like set a schedule based on when I want to do my work and when I want to get things done. And that also looks a lot like finding a space to do that. As we're in the pandemic, we know, you know, we might be spending a lot of time in the same spot in our own house all day, every day. And for me, especially, I'm pretty much in the same room pretty much all day. And so, you know, I need a change of locale sometimes to get things done, or even just like setting aside a little study spot to, you know, where I know I'm going to get things done. And then, but to go back to the adaptability part, there are some times where I do schedule time to like get things done. And I realize, you know, maybe I need a break right now. And, you know, maybe it's not feasible for my health, my mental health, my physical health, for me to do this assignment right now. It won't produce my best work. And so I need to take a break and acknowledge that. So I'd say probably one of the biggest takeaways for me in the pandemic is just acknowledging that I do need breaks, and that, I need diversity in my life and more than just work. So That's what I would have to say.
Absolutely. So you feel like the pandemic has really limited the diversity of experiences in your life, and you're recognizing in a way that you never did before how important that was, and how having that built into your life was great. And now that it's your life is reduced to fewer factors, that you're missing that. So you're having to now more purposefully create it when before it's just the way it was.
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. 100% agree with you on that. It's like when you it's almost like, you know, I live a privileged life where it's like I had something for, you know, most of my life, that diversity aspect, and all of a sudden it's been taken away, and it's like I'm left with, well, now what do I do? You know, I can't go out and see friends in restaurants or bars or whatever. And so now I'm left with, well, now I'm just going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and feel badly, or am I going to adapt and move forward in ways that feel safe and healthy, you know?
Absolutely. I also want to be fully transparent. The prompts that we're using for this interview came from Phil and Abby. These were not, I don't want to take ownership of these. I realized I didn't introduce that at the very beginning. So I thought they were really insightful prompts and questions. So I'm excited to use them. So the next question I'd like to ask is there so I've heard people say that self-care feels selfish. And so I'm curious, and this prompt came from Abby, like, is there a right and a wrong time for someone to be selfish? And how can we view self-care differently through that lens of pleasure?
Yeah, I personally think that being selfish is something that we don't do often because of that negative stereotype associated with the word selfish. But in my mind and how I frame that is just taking us time and space to care for yourself. So I really do think that we can frame it as self-care. More specifically, when we notice our energy levels lowering and we need that time. Especially since I'm in a helping profession, I find that, you know, I can only give so much. And when I notice that starting to impact my work, I have to just take that moment to be like, Abby, you have to be selfish tonight and do what you need to do to better yourself and to get your energy level up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So selfishness in the context of being able to run the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishness in terms of not fully expending yourself and burning yourself out, but making sure that there is enough for you to get through the day. So it's really like self-preservation.
That's a great way to frame it. Yeah, absolutely. It's just sometimes we're, you know, given the option between, you know, being with someone and helping someone or caring for someone, and then, you know, just being by yourself. And a lot of times we don't instantly go to that being by ourselves, but trying to connect with another person. And so, yeah, self-preservation in a way of just choosing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've certainly worked with students who put themselves out there for others constantly, and they are the person, they're out there, other people's rock, but they keep everything to themselves. So it's neat to hear you talk about the idea that it might be okay for you to take care of yourself so that you can continue to be there for yourself and for others. That's awesome. Yeah. What are your views on that, Phil?
So what immediately came to my mind when you said selfish were these feelings of like guilt, Abby. I feel like selfishness for me really brings up these like feelings that I'm not doing enough for someone else, or feeling like I could be doing more. And then I think my immediate reaction to that feeling was like an empowerment of like, no, you need to take care of yourself. No, you need to do this for yourself in order for you to do what you do to support others and to use like a cliche, to fill your own cup before you fill others' cups. For me, that's largely looked a lot like navigating my intimate relationship with my partner. We spend all day together in the house because we both work from home. We end up spending a lot of time together. And for me to recharge, like, I feel like I need my own space and my own time to do my own thing. And I think, especially at the very beginning of the pandemic, it was difficult to navigate that because I had feelings of guilt whenever I wanted to spend time on my own, because it made me feel like, I don't want to spend time with my partner. Maybe I don't like my partner, or maybe she'll think poorly of me because of it. Whereas now I feel a lot more confident after having conversations with her about that and about those feelings of guilt and about how it's okay that, you know, I can feel selfish about taking my own time, because I think largely because she feels the same way, but also because we both recognize it's important for our own health, especially our mental health, to take that kind of quote unquote selfish time. And I want to say, I really like the way that you kind of reframe the selfishness. Like, I know there's kind of a stigma behind that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the way that you're putting it in a positive spin, sort of. I just want to say that that's pretty cool.
No, I loved your example of that, Phil. And I also wanted to touch on the idea of pleasurable activities being self-care. I think too, when we think of just stereotypical self-care and what that looks like, it could be, and I even mentioned this earlier, it's like going outside, enjoying nature, drawing a bubble bath, right? And when I talk to people, I often wonder if that actually brings people pleasure, or if it's supposed to, so they engage in it. And so, you know, this idea of being mindful while doing the activity, so taking a moment to read your body and how you're feeling and seeing if the self-care is pleasurable. And I just think that's so important to think about sometimes.
Absolutely. I like that word mindful. I really like that input there. I think that's that's a key aspect of positive selfishness, being mindful of yourself. And also, I feel like, you know, to be selfish, you need to be mindful of others' feelings and to let them know, kind of communicating that you're going to be selfish as well, as to, you know, make sure you're not stepping on any toes or something like that. So.
I think you two are really onto something. And I really like the idea of being of mindfulness over just doing things that we think we should be enjoying or should make us feel better, and like actually paying attention to what does and what doesn't. And then I also appreciated, Phil, you were basically discussing like redefining healthy boundaries, and our needs have changed, and the healthy boundaries that we had before were great then. And the landscape looks different now. We're in a different situation. And so our boundaries might need to change, likely do need to change. I thought that was such a cool example that you gave about, like, first of all, being mindful of like, oh my gosh, I'm recognizing that I need a little more like time to myself or time away from my partner, that that doesn't say anything negative about them. And then, oh, I better actually communicate about this. Like communicating your needs is a neat like form of positive selfishness. So yeah, I'm appreciating all the things that you all are pulling up. So we have, let's say we have like 1 minute left. And actually, I think I wish that we could talk for hours, and I have no doubt that we could. If we have 1 minute left to wrap up, what would be your closing thoughts? What would you like to share with any other students that are listening to this podcast?
Yeah, I think the first thing that popped into my mind, and I think this comes from my social work background, is this idea that we need to start making our mental health a priority. I think one, if you're listening to this, you're on the right track and you're taking steps for that. But also the idea of practicing self-care daily is also a way to practice that, as long as you're doing it in a safe and healthy way. Yeah, make it a priority, your mental health.
Absolutely. Thank
you. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. That was exactly what popped in my mind too. It was like, take care of yourself. You know, this is a really difficult time for all of us in different ways, but it's still like very stressful, I feel like, for most all of us. So really, you know, I think prioritizing mental health and taking care of yourself is super important. And if we can talk about that more and kind of address that more within ourselves and with others as well, I think that's a really great step towards a, you know, better, healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, I can't say it any better than you two have. I'm so happy that you two are willing to come and talk today. I think your perspective is so important and really deep and thoughtful. So I greatly appreciate your time. Abby and Phil, thank you again. Hopefully we could have you back sometime. And I hope that you two take care of yourselves through the rest of the semester. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kyle, for that interview. I really enjoyed hearing the student voices. We wanted to kind of come back in kind of our last few minutes of wrap up here and talk about, you know, Kyle, I think, referenced earlier, we're about a year into the pandemic and recognizing things are going to continue to evolve and change. And we're not going to go back to the normal we had a year ago. But looking at, like, what's our next new normal going to look like, and how do we kind of keep an eye on our needs for planning forward. And I'm just wondering, for everyone, like, what does that mean? What does that mean for us kind of planning moving forward?
Yeah, for me, it means incorporating that flexibility that we were talking about instead of being so concrete and rigid. Mm-hmm. I would like to focus on anticipating and being planful instead of flying by the seat of my pants. So if I can pay attention to how I schedule my time over the summer and plan things that I'm looking forward to and all the things that I always say I wish I could do, go ahead and actually put them on the calendar. And then I think those are the main things. Also take the downtime when I need the downtime, but I'm definitely more of a, I want to get out and do things type person. And I fully respect folks who need more downtime. That's super cool. But I just know that I need to get the heck out of these four walls.
Heidi, I appreciate that, like, naming that things won't look the same afterwards. I think when I felt most, like, trapped or frustrated during the pandemic. It's been when I've been comparing my current, like how things are right now to how things would have been before. And especially with stuff, with everything being online, I get really frustrated when my process takes longer or isn't as fluid, and compare it to times before when, you know, I would have like walked down the hall to ask someone a question rather than sitting and composing an email. And, you know, for me, noticing when I'm kind of stepping into that comparison with the past helps me be a little more understanding with myself and shift away from it. And so, you know, thinking about the future, that the future isn't going to go right back to how things were a year ago, but, you know, maybe there'll be some blend of how things are now and, you know, a little more of how things were then. But it's kind of that flexibility to...
I wonder if it also, recognizing that flexibility, but also part of that self-care, could be allowing ourselves to grieve kind of the loss of what was over that last year, and what we're maybe missing. Even moving forward, you know, things aren't going to be the same, and even traditions will have changed, and it's okay to let yourself kind of sit with those feelings and they're be valid and recognize like this isn't what we expected or planned for, but this is what is right now, and just that simple act maybe could be part of self-care.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been thinking about this mostly in the context of COVID-19 as like the pandemic that we're going to sort of loop back around in terms of what self-care looks like afterwards. And I feel like a point that we're not talking about today is also pandemics around the pandemic of racial injustice and the ways in which minoritized folks in the U.S. and other places in the world are discriminated against. And I feel like one of the things I'm trying to think about with self-care is not only how like I attend to my own needs, but how I start to become more aware of the needs of others. And so like, I think self-care gets traditionally a bad rap because it's very individualistic. Like, what can I do for me, right? But I think also the privilege that I hold as a white person affords me the opportunity to use some of my time, my resources, my advocacy to speak up for other folks. And so I think that it's possible to think about self-care as not just something that benefits me, but using the time and resources that I have to show up in spaces. And that's like my biggest self-care change, I guess, is that I want to be more attentive and more present, be a better listener, be a better advocate. I think sort of committing to that as an idea of like, this is a way that my self-care can be more communal than just about myself, because I do think it will benefit me to learn the stories of folks who have suffered discrimination in this community and beyond that. It will be beneficial to me, but I think it will also be beneficial to others as well. So I'm trying to find ways to think about self-care as something that doesn't have to just be a me activity and actually can be more focused on social justice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Like extending our understanding of self-care beyond the individualistic one, like you're talking about, to also the communities that we exist in, micro, macro.
Well, I hope for folks who are listening, you take some of the things that you've heard today and are able to find ways to apply it to your life. If you're a student, we hope that particularly in a semester where there's no spring break, you're just marathoning right through the semester, that you do find some space to practice self-care in, again, the variety of ways that I think we've kind of framed it today. the things that are sticking with me, it's like, it's not a one-time activity. It's a continuous act. Sometimes it's the stuff that's pleasurable. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's about you as an individual. Sometimes it's also about a community. Finding ways to make your self-care flexible. I think that hopefully those are some of the ways that you start to think about self-care differently. Per usual, we'd love to hear more from you all about how you're practicing self-care. And if there are questions or things that you want to hear us talk about more related to this, again, shoot us an email at that ucs-therapistpodcast@uiowa.edu email. And otherwise, we'll see y'all next time.